This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أوصيكم وإياي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, we begin the day with the morning dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma bika asbahna wa bika amsayna وَبِكَ نَحْيَا وَبِكَ نَمُوتَ وَإِلَيْكَ النُّشُورُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا يَدُرُّ مَا اسْمِهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا اللهم أدخلنا جنتك وأجرنا من النار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين. All praise due to Allah رب العالمين. May the blessing, the mercy, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon all of us. May Allah make all of us have a good ending inshallah. And may Allah give us a lot of sabr, patience. Yeah. To all the sisters and the brother, we know that life is full of trial, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even asks us. Allah said, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُدْرَكُوا أَن يَكُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Allah did ask us, do human think that we will not test them, especially for those who say that I am a believer. All believers will be tested by Allah Rabbul Alameen. But how do you overcome the trial, the challenges, the test from Allah? You must have sabr. The only thing you have to do is to have sabr. Now sabr is easy to say. It's easy to learn about sabar. Even Allah Rabbul Alamin wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah remind us, wasta'inu bis sabri was salah. Seek help from Allah through sabar. Meaning when you want anything from Allah, the first thing you must have is patience. Yeah? And then you must stay connected with Him. والصلاه الصب والصلاه. Now let us go back to the book first, and then we will explain further about sabar. According to what is written here, we should be on page 31. Yeah? Page 31, and we should be discussing about the hadith from Jabir. But before we continue with that, let us go back to the last hadith. Yeah? To the last hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who is so loving, caring to this ummah, even we do not live in his time, he have seen, and neither we have seen him before, but his feeling, his prayer is with us until the day of judgment. He will not just leave us here, he will be waiting for us until the day of judgment to give his shafa'ah. Then the Prophet ﷺ also remind his ummah, the meaning, whoever of my ummah burden himself with a debt, we are talking about debt, loan, hutang piutang, and try hard to pay it off but dies before fulfilling that, I am then his sponsor. Look at, yeah, I don't think anybody here would like to be our sponsor, yeah, to pay our debt. You know, we try our way to excuse ourselves, but the Prophet, who do not know any one of us, but he is telling us, if you have the intention to pay when you borrow a loan, you do have the intention, because you must remember the Prophet said, innamal a'malu binniyat. Intention play a very important role from the beginning. I did share with all of you that the Prophet even reminds, man ada adaina falayanwi qada'ahu fahuwa sariq. In other hadith, not here. Yeah, whoever have the intention from the beginning not to pay, but he just say, I'll pay you back. I'll pay, but deep in his heart or heart, he have no intention to pay. Then from the day he take the loan, he is stealing. Consider he is stealing, or he is robbing another person's right. Because we know it. With Muslim, we have rights. Hakul Muslim ala Muslim, yunukullu Muslim ala Muslim, haramun damuhu wa maluhu wa irduhu. We learn about the hadith that every Muslim to another Muslim is sacred, their life, means their blood, you cannot just take their life without a reason, and you cannot also take their money without their permission, and you must not embarrass them or dishonor their dignity, even how poor they are, how ugly they are, how ignorant they are, you have no right to dishonor their dignity. You have to respect them as fellow Muslim. But how about people who are not yet Muslim? The hadith talk about Muslim, but how about not yet Muslim? Can you borrow money from them? Yes, you can. Anybody also can take a loan from here and there. But must you pay? If you lend, you borrowed money from somebody who are not yet Muslim, should we pay? Yes. Here is here, but over there, alhamdulillah, but here you must pay. Yeah? Because over there, they don't have that right anymore. Allah gives their right over here. Yeah, over there, they don't have their right. So, that's why people who are not yet Muslim sometimes want to know about this ruling, to make sure that they know who they can lend it, but because their life is more here, so they will get their right over here. But this hadith is talking about those who take a loan between fellow Muslim. Then the Prophet said, I will be his sponsor. Do the Prophet will pay back money with money, gold with gold? No. He will trade. This is barter trade. In the day of judgment, you don't have gold and silver anymore. They have no value. But what happened is, there is a barter trade between the Prophet and the one who lent us the money. Then, meaning the Prophet said, will you just make it halal for that so and so. Now, in return, I give you my shafa'a. That's how the Prophet come in. His sponsor is, he will release us from that by offering his shafa'a to those who have helped us in this life, who lend us some money and so on. But brothers and sisters, again, if you look at this hadith, if you want extra shafa'a, then you can lend people more, you know? And then you don't want them to pay you back here. You know? But you don't do that because you want to educate the Muslim to be responsible. That when you say something, you don't lie and you don't break the promise. Because if you show them another way out, then you are not helping the Muslim. Yeah? In the time of the Prophet, Muslims do not borrow for comfort. They only borrow for necessity, for darura, for survival. Today, a lot of borrowing is for comfort. So there is something that we have to look into it, yeah, wisely, inshallah. Yeah. Now, let's continue with the hadith. Jabir reported that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say in his khutbah. That means normally when the Prophet is giving a khutbah, Friday khutbah especially, he liked to remind his ummah, "Man taraka malan falau urasadah." Then the Prophet said, "Whoever leave a wealth," that means he have property, "it is for his inheritors, for the waris." Whatever property that you leave behind, normally the right of the inheritors, the waris, is being secured, and you don't have to say anything because their right is being protected by Allah. How much for the male, the female, husband or the wife, father, mother, everything is being fixed by Allah. This is the only area that nobody can change. No one. Except if all the inheritors agreed upon that let us give this to someone, to just one person to handle. To be the trustee, to the mother, example. We pass it to the mother. Let mother do what she thinks is good. Then, yes, they can. But their right is being protected. So happened that one of the siblings said, "No, I do not want. I want my right." So his right or her right must be given. You cannot fight anymore. Don't fight. Oh, you don't love mother? You don't trust us? No, no, there's nothing to do with love or trust. Is doing about my right. Don't talk about love and trust yet. Yeah. They have their right, so you don't fight for it. If they are not agreeable with the kind of agreement among all the siblings to pass to somebody, to the mother or to the father or to the elder sisters, then give whomever want their right to be given, give it to them. The rest who agree, then we will agree upon. It's not difficult, yeah. It's not difficult, yeah. But don't try to, you know, tell them that you don't love. No, no, no. Because that is their right. Right is right. Yeah. So whoever leave a wealth, it is for his or her inheritors. And whoever leave children or debt, they are my obligation and responsibility. You look at how the Prophet ﷺ is telling us about his commitment to us. How can we don't love our Prophet when he was there always for us? We are not with him when he was alive, but he is with us until the day of judgment. Nobody say this to us in our lifetime. Nobody will tell us that your debt is mine. No, no, no. Your debt, you settle. You know? Your property is mine. You know? Hutang, you settle by yourself normally. You know? And I have more right to each believer than his own self. The Prophet ﷺ even said that I wa ana awla bi kulli mu'min min nafsi. I have more right upon them. And that is why the Prophet put one condition: la yu'minu ahadukum hatta ahabba ilayya min walidihi wa walidihi wa nasi ajma'in. None of us can be a true believers until you love the Prophet more than anyone else, more than your own parents and even more than yourself. Is that easy to understand? Who are the companions who proved to the Prophet that he loved the Prophet more than anyone? Abu Bakr. The first companions, the first friend of the Prophet who entered Islam, and he said to the Prophet that, I just believe and love what you want me to do. Umar also, he said, I love the Prophet more than my parent, more than my sibling, more than my family, and more than all my friends, but I think I still love myself more, a bit. Then the Prophet said, you don't have the sound iman yet. Then he asked, then how? You must love me even more than self. Okay, I love you more than myself. Then the Prophet comes, then your iman is okay. It's easy to say it, but it's today, you see, we know the sunnah, but we are prepared to abandon the sunnah just to please another person. Please our neighbor, please our parent, please our friend. Just because of our friend, we prepare to sacrifice the sunnah of the Prophet. We don't know what kind of love is that. Yeah? There is emotional love. But the love that Allah Rabbul Alameen have given to the companion, mashallah, is from their heart. And because of that, they are ready to sacrifice everything, anything. Every day when you see the Prophet, you know how the companion discuss with the Prophet, how do they communicate with the Prophet. They come, they never burden the Prophet at all. What they will do each morning when they meet up with the Prophet, they will ask the Prophet, Usikum, please remind us of something that is good for us, number one. Or he said, Ayyi khidma, what can we do for you? They are always there to serve the Prophet for the sake of Allah Rabbul Alameen. And that's why they are so blessed. This is something that Allah has put into the heart of the companions of the Prophet. That's why Allah said to them, Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is so pleased with them, and that's why, because they are very they are always ready to please Allah Rabbul Alameen. We can slowly develop that kind of commitment in our life. Anybody who is here to promote the teaching of Islam based on the Quran and Sunnah, who are committed, who we are engaged in, we should always try our best to ask them what that we can do for them, so that they move faster. In another narration, another hadith from Ibn Umar, just now is from Jabir, Prophet Muhammad SAW said, there are two types of death. There are two types of death. Then, as for a person who dies while intending to pay it off, I am his sponsor. Very clear again. But as for a person who dies while not intending to pay it off, this is one whose good deeds will be taken away on the day of judgment when there is no dinar or dirham to give. When there's no dinar and dirham to give anymore. So what will happen to us? Because you don't have the intention to pay back. So in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away from your good deeds to pass it to the one who helped you, who lend you some money here. If you think you have a lot of good deeds, alhamdulillah. But if you know that your deeds also we do not know, we are just trying to collect, we collect a lot of bonus link, you have all those other bonus, there are so many bonus now we are collecting, but we do not know what is going to happen to us over there. So what is important now, if you look at the second hadith, brothers and sisters, come back to our intention. Everything will come back to our intention. And that's why we always remind our people, please make the right intention. If not, you can just be honest to yourself. You don't have the intention to pay back. You don't have the mean to pay back. Then you tell them, can you help me? Yeah. And when you ask for help, brother and sister, you don't demand. Up to them, what they want, what they can, alhamdulillah. But if they ask you, how much do you need? You don't lie. If you need 100, don't say 1,000. That means you are not being honest to yourself and to others. It's not that people can't help you. If they have more, they will help you, but you don't lie to them. But if you are trying to take them for a ride, that means you commit zulm. Yeah, it's zulm. You cannot do that. Yeah. So you can just ask what you really need. Yeah. Then it's up to them. If they can give, alhamdulillah. If they can't, alhamdulillah. Don't get upset. Don't get upset. Yeah. Sometimes Allah give opportunity to somebody to do good deeds, alhamdulillah. And sometimes there is a reason also. People are not responding. So you just have to have patience again. Yeah. But we are worried today, the trend going through the internet or the online, please help me, and this is going out for millions of people. If one person just responds 10 ringgit, he can be a millionaire. And all these are very important for us to be very alert. Don't respond. If you ask me, should I respond to this mail? Should I respond to this online messages? I said no. You know what happened? Even they can use people's name. They can use different photograph. I normally people will say, oh, from who? From Bilal Philip. From whom? Hakim Kuwait. My friend, my cruiser, I got stuck here. And I lost my passport. I lost my ticket. And my money gone. But alhamdulillah, I have their number. First thing I will do, I will call them. Assalamu alaikum. Where are you now? I am here. The message I said, I got you in another place. No. I'm here. Khalas, cut off. So if you are so naive, when you receive this message, you may feel, oh, this is my friend, my close friend. He just need 1,000 ringgit. What is that 1,000 ringgit for a friend? Normally, what we send? Yeah, we immediately send. If you don't have, you even contact our friend. Please, help my friend. You are not helping your friend. You are helping an unseen person using names. I have that problem once, when I was traveling. They are very smart. They know where you are traveling. Sometimes people today are not like before. All are IT. They are moving. They are monitoring. And then that's why you receive any of their messages, cut it off. Don't entertain. Because if the friend really need your help, and they know you, so they are close to you, they will call you. That's how you must be very wise today. Yeah? The world has changed, brothers and sisters. I know. We all have good intention. But you must be wise. We don't like people to take us for a ride. And we are not helping ourselves, we are not helping others. That means we are helping the liar to keep on lying. The cheater to keep on cheating. And it's very, very bad. Now, if you go to page 32, this is just some reminder. Something that normally happens to us when a person dies, or a person who is going to die. Number one is the recitation of Surah Yasin over a dying person. This is very common for Nusantara, number one, and later on with some neighborhood. But for people of knowledge, they don't do that. It's not that it's not good to recite the Quran. Quran is good for us to recite. But the intention is to recite for the dead or a dying person. They can't help them anymore. The dying person, the Prophet has said, if you visit a dying person, what do you say? La ilaha illallah. Easy, like, it won't confuse them. And we pray that they respond. That's all. Once they respond, don't keep on repeating. You will make them very upset. You want me to recite, I recite, and you still force me to keep on reciting. We believe that once they recite, inshallah, they will also follow up by themselves. Yeah? So don't keep on pushing them. You know, if they get very angry, upset, they may stop, and then you thought that, oh, they did not recite at the end, yeah, of their life. They are reciting by themselves. You just prompt them for a while. When they respond, alhamdulillah, pray, may Allah strengthen their heart and their faith. Turning him to face the Qibla, it is not necessary at that point of time. Putting a copy of Quran near his head, neither he can benefit anything. Even people who is alive now, you put one Quran beside him, cannot benefit him. How are people who is going to die? Believing that the devil come to him in the form of his parent only and invite him to disbelief. The devil may come in any form, not only in the form of a parent. Normally, the shaitan will come in the form of something that he loves most to distract his focus so that he will think of that thing and forget Allah. Because this is the last battle between the Satan with us. After this, he cannot tempt us anymore. When we die, the shaitan cannot get involved with us anymore. He's cut off. It's like the dunya cut off from us, shaitan also is cut off from us. So he will try his best to make us forget Allah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ remind his ummah that we must love Allah and the Prophet more than anything else. You free yourself from this dunya for a while so that when the time comes for you to go back, you know how to cut off this dunya. Then you are ready for a good ending. Yeah. But they may come in many forms. Yeah. If you love a cat, it will come in the form of a cat. If you love flower, it will come in the form of flower. So that you think flower, 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 you die with flower. Not la ilaha illallah. But not just parents. Now let us go back to chapter 3, grieving and mourning over the dead. We know that when death strikes, it is very common and natural for the family, especially the relative and friends, of the dead person to grieve for his departure. It is very, very common. Yeah? If you feel that you should not, then it is against the sunnah. The Prophet even grieved for his son. Yeah? Even, you know, Allah, yeah, appoint him and the Prophet, being human, you must have that kind of feeling. Yeah? This grief is a result of the emotional ties that they held towards each other, feeling of dependability and need towards each other, feeling of kindness and concern about what will happen to him, and so on. Islam does not prohibit grieving, but prohibit wrong belief and practices that people often associate with it. Therefore, this chapter explains the obligatory, permissible, and prohibited practices associated with grieving, mourning, and offering condolence. Now, we know condolence means ta'ziyah. Yeah? Ta'ziyah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam always want his ummah to respond. If somebody that you know passed away, you come to know about that, quickly respond and say, we will pray for you, don't worry. If you need any help, yeah, let us know. For those who are still far, for those who are close, immediately you respond and tell them, don't worry about food, everything. We as your neighbor will prepare food and your family can come and have lunch with us, dinner with us. Don't burden them. The ta'ziyah is not just lip service. Show them that you care. You are there for them. Don't let them think of they have to cook now. They got to buy food to feed the family members who are around. No, no, no. Quickly, you say, no problem. Anything about food, drink, come to our place, our neighbor. That's what the Prophet command his ummah when Ja'far's passed away. He said, prepare food for the family of Ja'far. That's how we come in now. Ta'ziyah, no, oh, be patient. But how can you be? They have to survive. They have to eat. You know, you cannot say, oh, sabar, you don't have to eat, okay, you know. You fast, go for fasting. This is not the way we say ta'ziyah. We must show them that we also feel for them. And also remind them. Remind them that Allah loves them more. Allah loves your father. Allah loves your mom. You cannot just don't show them that feeling. But can we make ta'ziyah for people who are not yet Muslim? We have family, friends who are not yet Muslim. They also go through all this musibah. They will also go through all this suffering. Can we make ta'ziyah? What do we think? Yeah, we should make ta'ziyah. The Prophet never forbid. If you look at the Imam Shafi, Imam Abu Hanifa, all of them say there's nothing wrong because there is no prohibition from the Prophet. You remember when somebody passed away, a Yahud is normally the enemy of the Prophet, when the body was passing, the Prophet stand up. The Prophet just stands to show some respect. Now, the way we are doing, because we only don't do any prayer, because that is forbidden, not only for you, for me, even the Prophet want to pray for his own parent, Allah said no. Even Prophet Abraham want to pray for his father, Allah said no. That we can't. But to show that we feel for them, for who? For the living, is good. If you can respond positively, even use that platform, the best platform, to talk to them about God, about Allah. This is good. You can make da'wah to them. Show them how we come in and help them. We are helping the living anyhow. It's the same thing. Can we send food to their family members? Why not? Show them. You see, we Muslim, this is how we respond when there is a funeral. Of course, they have more. Normally, the Chinese will have their package already. They have already. It's well planned. Once something happens, there's an agent is going to come in. And the agent was going to ask them whether they want package A, package B, or gold, or silver, or diamond. They have different categories. The highest one you pay, they'll get a better imam. They also have their imam. They have their imam to come for chanting. I know this because those who are family are not yet Muslim, you experience that by yourself. It depends how many days you want them. They also have that 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. It costs a lot. But if we can come in to do the necessity, not all this, the necessity, just food is good. Anything to do with food. And maybe their family is coming back, nobody is there to fetch them, we offer them that service. Okay, we will go and fetch them. You don't have to worry about those who just arrived, and we will try to arrange and make it easy for all of you. No problem. Think that we are allowed to participate in Islam, there's nothing wrong. It's our mu'amalat with them. And this is also important. By doing that, we may open the heart of those who are not yet Muslim. Normally, if we talk to a fellow Muslim after saying inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, not yet Muslim, we can even say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, because there is the general statement when anyone pass away. They also Allah's creation. they have to go back. Then for those who are Muslim, we normally will follow up more than that. After that, we said, "Istaghfiru li akikum, Allahumma qfil lahum." At least we said, "Allahumma qfil lahu, Allahumma qfil laha, warhamha." At least you make a prayer. The Prophet said, "Ask Allah to forgive the soul of the deceased." That's all we do. But for people who are non-believer, we just cannot do that. Why? Because it's against our belief, and also it will hurt them. They don't like you to do, don't go and do this to my people. They know we have our own prayer. The Christians have their own way of praying. The Buddhists have their own way of doing things. They won't like you to interfere that. And that's where Muslims have been taught by Allah just through one ayah, "Lakum dinukum waliyadin." We have to make it clear there is your religion. We don't interfere. So far, alhamdulillah, you never see a Muslim who have the right knowledge about Islam interfere in the not yet Muslim funeral. The only thing that we may have problem is when somebody convert to Islam without the knowledge of the family. Then we have some problem here. The Muslim feel that that is their responsibility, and the not yet Muslim family say, "No, this is my children, my daughter, my son. It's my right to give him a good funeral." And that is when we have to use a lot of wisdom. And that's why Islam always wants us to encourage people who want to be a Muslim to be open. Let the parent know, so that the parent will honor their right and our right. But if they do not know, you cannot blame them from fighting. They thought that is their right. And if they don't do this to their son or their daughter, the father, mother, bad thing will happen to them. They have that belief. Yeah, some bad thing is going to happen to them. Maybe the curse of whatever they believe will come to them because they ignore their family who passed away. They don't have this kind of, maybe they don't believe in shaitan. Their shaitan is the belief in ghosts. They believe in spirit will come. That's why when a not yet Muslim pass away, you don't see that they will just go and donate their garment. They don't donate sometimes. They are worried that they donate, the spirit will come and say, "This is my shirt. Who gives you the right to wear it?" You know, they have that kind of belief. Yeah, unless it's a family member who they love each other, then make the soul very happy. "Oh, you still remember of me, eh? You still love me. You are wearing my garment to show that how close you are to me, even not with you." They have all this kind of feeling. They don't do that. They believe that they will come back. But we believe no. So what is important, brothers and sisters, we know that Islam do not prohibit us to help to do ta'ziah with people who are not yet Muslim, but you do what is allowed. Submission to Allah's qadar. When struck by an affliction of fitan, a believer is required to be sabar, patient, trust that Allah will reward him for his affliction, and proclaim that he belongs to Allah and up to him he will return. "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." When you do tawaf, you remember, you start from one point, you go back to that point. It's a reminder. Where you begin, that way you will end there. You've come from Allah to Allah, you return. There are various aspects of one obligation, full submission to Allah's qadar. Some details of this aspect are discussed in what follows. Patience. Look at the ayah in Surah Baqarah, verses 155. When a person is struck by an affliction, musibah, fitan, you know, musibah also can be called fitan. Fitan is fitna. Allah say, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُعْ وَالنَّقْصِ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is telling all of us who believe in Him, we will surely try you with danger. What is danger here? Khawf, fear. Of course, we all are worried because of many things. We also will test you with hunger, a loss of wealth, life, and fruits. And then Allah answer, give glad tidings to those who have patience. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Patience should be manifest from the beginning, not merit or damaged by the magnitude of the loss. Anas reported that Allah's messenger passed by a woman crying next to a grave. Now what we see now, can the woman go to the grave? Yes. But the Prophet did forbid, yeah, at one point, because they just cannot control themselves, so emotional, they delay the burial. They don't allow people to put the dead body down. And that's why the Prophet forbid. Then later on, Ummi Atiyah said, the Prophet, do allow at another occasion, women to be around, as long they do not disturb or delay the burial. Those women who can control their emotion, you know, then the Prophet never stopped them. But those who was disturbed the burial, the Prophet said, no more. And that's why until today, some country, they just put a very big sign, haram for a woman to come to the graveyard. They give a general order, you know, but they forgot that the Prophet have, yeah, allowed later on. They just used the hadith that the Prophet forbid. And that's why you have this problem. If you learn the sunnah of the Prophet, you just take one hadith and abandon another hadith, there where the fitna comes in. And then people who don't have understanding say, what kind of religion is this? What is this teaching? These are extremists. And now the fitna is going to grow. So before we make any comment about Islam, we must have the right understanding and we must know, yeah, all the reference properly. Anas reported, yeah, that the Prophet passed by a woman crying next to a grave. The Prophet told her, ittaqillah, wasbiri, have taqwa of Allah and be patient. Now that woman, not recognizing the man is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she responded, leave me alone. You have not been struck by an affliction like mine. Yeah. It's not your son. It's not your business. Leave me alone. Now what do we learn from this dialogue? Number one, you see how simple the Prophet is. The way he dressed, yeah, the way he moved around, he is like a servant of Allah. There's no special uniform on him. Now, sometimes people will say, when you are a scholar, you must have a uniform. You know, your turban must be that high. And then you must have red, kind of design here, or yellow. Yeah, they start to give you all, and you must wear special kind of garment. You know? Normally they say, to show that you are not like them anymore. And you are scholars, from Qadi, different uniform. Mufti, another uniform. Grand Mufti, another uniform. And yeah, some people used to do that. You know? But the Prophet dressed very, very humble. He dressed like an Arab and always isbal. His garment do not, yeah, go below the ankle. Normally people say this kind of dress, poor people dressing. Those who are rich, they will drag their garment. The Prophet used that kind of garment. So when you see the man yeah, who wear anything is by anything above ankle, don't look down upon them. What fashion? Why this guy like that? Because that is the way the Prophet chose to dress, and we like to follow. So you encourage your husband to do that. This is only for men. It's Baal only for men. If they are not doing that yet, you just pray, may Allah give them the love of the sunnah. So now this woman is saying to him, because he did not say, I am the prophet. You see how humble the prophet. Even the woman respond in very negative manner. He never shouted at her. He never said, do you know who we're talking to? You see, the wisdom of the prophet. He also had patience. He know this woman is very emotional. Now he do not want to. He just remind her, and she respond negatively. He just leave her. We can be very mean sometimes. Do you know who you're talking to? You know that I'm the prophet. So I say, ittaqillah, be patient, get out. You can do that, but the prophet, Allahu Akbar, have a lot of patience. Then later on, she was told that that man is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Extremely, he distressed and agitated at her blunder. She hasted to him and said, "Oh Allah's Messenger, I did not recognize you." Neither the Prophet was angry, because he's a very simple man. The Prophet said, "Inna sabra indal awli sutma." Indeed, patient. Now the woman is telling, okay, I'm listening to you now. You call me to be patient. And trying very hard to be patient. The Prophet said, patience should be displayed at the beginning of the affliction. When things happen to you, you have the patience to control yourself. That is where patience comes in. Not after. Of course, now all of us have patience, extra patience. You know? When Allah put you into the test and you know how to control your emotion, your anger, that is where patience is. That's why the Prophet said that a strong person is not a person who are a good wrestler, a muscular, but a person who can control his anger. Can we control our anger? Inshallah. Do you know how you control your anger? Sometimes we can. Number one is your tongue. Make sure that it did not get out. But we may fail from where? Where we fail normally? We fail because our body language. Immediately you can see the face turn reddish a bit and humble. The eye. Everybody will know. And those who like to provoke you, I got him. I get him now. But if you know how to control, and then if you want to stay, don't control. And you smile. That is good. We learn how to smile. Fake smile, no problem. As long as you know how to control your body language, it's good. It's not that you are giving in, no. You know, this is not the right time to respond. If I respond now, it's not going to have a good kind of discussion. I just control. Deep in your heart, what do? You must say istighfar a lot. When you are weak, when you are down, you don't say astaghfirullah. You say la ilaha illallah zikr. It will boost up your spirit, make you strong. But when you are too strong, you don't put la ilaha illallah. It's very, very powerful. You know, in the time the Prophet, when they come la ilaha, they are ready to die. Because they want to die with la ilaha illallah. They are ready already. So when you are feeling so bad, astaghfirullah. you are worried you may say something wrong. You may give the wrong response. Astaghfirullah. But you don't have to say it loud. They get very upset. What do you say? Astaghfirullah. What for? What do you say? Astaghfirullah. No. So you just in deep in yourself. You know? So patient, the real patient according to the teaching of Prophet is when something happened to you, you know how to control. You don't jump to conclusion. You don't get out of control. You scream. You say, it's like all the messages that you receive online today through your smartphone. This phone is so smart, but we are not smart. You know, we have no control. When it reaches you, it bounces back. Wow! If only you can bounce back to the command of Allah in that manner. MashaAllah, your iman is very, very good. Yeah. Anything if Allah said, you don't even feel anything. You are worried, it's true or not. You double check, but any other message that come in, you bounce so fast. No. Control. Don't just share everything with a lot of people because you do not know what the news, whether it's true, it's not true. You must be very careful. So if anybody used to send anything to me, if I don't respond, don't get upset. I have a reason not to respond. I have to think, I have to check first. If I don't find anything yet, I don't respond. I will just be silent because that's what the Prophet wants us to do. And then if they still are very impatient, what should you do? What should you do if you are not patient enough to wait for my response through message? You just have to call. Just make a call. If I'm engaged again, no problem. Send another message. Can I call you? Urgent, ASAP. Just put ASAP. Then I will know that this is important. I will try. I will try, but sometimes I just do not respond through all messages because I have to do my homework first. So please help me. Don't say, oh, Ustaz, very hard. No, it's not hard. I'm worried. So we hope Allah Rabbul Alameen give us the taqwa and the patience, inshallah. Then ihtisab, in addition to patience, a person who is struck by a disaster or musibah should look forward to Allah's reward and forgiveness for that disaster, even if it's very minor. This is called ihtisab. And Allah said, "Ma asaba min musibatin illa bi iznillah. Wa man yu'min billah yahdi qalbah. Allahu bi kulli shay'in alim." In Taghabun, verses 11. No disaster or musibah strike except by Allah's permission. Always remember that when something happened, the first thing we as a believer accept is qadar. If not, then it won't happen. We must have that kind of belief in qadar. It's Allah's qadar. And whoever believes in Allah, now Allah is telling us, if you say you believe in Allah, Allah will guide his heart. Allah is a knower of all things. If you say you believe in Allah, first thing you respond when something strikes you, Qadr Allah wa ma sha'a fa'a. Remember that saying, Qadr Allah wa ma sha'a fa'al. Khalas. And hold on, be patient to get further information. Since death is usually a great disaster, one should anticipate more reward for it from Allah. And Allah will surely reward those who display sincere ihtisab. Ihtisab means a person who accept the qadar and have patience, have good thoughts with Allah. Husni zan billahi ta'ala. In other hadith, the Prophet said, the believers is unique by themselves. anything that happened to them that is good, they are thankful and grateful. They praise Allah. Anything bad happened, they have patience and accept the qadar. From both, they will be rewarded by Allah Rabbul Alamin. And the believer always have husni zan billahi. Good thoughts. Allah know what is good for me. You just have to have patience. Yeah? Patience is not showing our weaknesses or to say that I'm coward to respond. No, no, no. You will have to respond when the time comes. You respond at the right time, at the right place. And that is important. Abdullah bin Amr reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, yeah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى لِعَبْدِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِذَا ذَهَبَ بِسَفِيَّ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ فَصَبْرُ. Yeah? If one of Allah's believing servants display patience and ihtisab, when Allah take away from him a beloved one, Allah will approve for him no reward less than Jannah. See what Allah wants us to do? Just little. Be more patient, rather. In return, Allah will give you Jannah. What a good reward from Allah Rabbul Alameen. Everything belongs to Him. Everything has to go back to Him. So, we learn how to be patient, inshallah. Yeah? Brother and sister, because I also have something to attend to, 12:30. We have guests from the Middle East going to visit our home. I'll be meeting them over. So we have about 20 minutes for Q&A. Fatafaddal. If there's any question, we open for Q&A, inshallah. Now. Okay. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, this hadith is the continue of the earlier hadith. No, it is the same kind of meaning, but it came in a different form. Yeah? Meaning, normally, when somebody die, and if he have property, go back to the children, inheritors. But if they don't have property, and then they have debt, and they have the intention to pay, but the children can't pay. The children can't pay. Because they don't have property. But when property is there, it belongs to the children. But if there's no property, and then who is going to, children can't bear it, but Prophet will take the responsibility that he will, if they have the intention to pay. It's the same kind of hadith earlier, but they collect from different sahaba. Yeah? Normally, the children should pay. Right or not? The children must pay the debt of the parent. But since the children don't have anything, if they have, it belongs to them. But again, the ayah, the other ayah, there's an ayah talk about that fara'id only can be distributed after death and after they pay their debts and after they fulfill their wasiyat. But if this do not happen, then that's where the apostle will take care of the debt with the condition the person who take the loan must have the intention to pay. No, it depends. You have the intention. And that's why the Prophet always informed his ummah, those who have the means to lend people anything, to make it easy for them. And Allah will make it easy for you. Yeah. But normally, if a person have a good intention, they always find means. Yeah, they are not running away. We don't like, no, last time we are so close, we see from far, salamu alaikum. Now from far you disappeared. You know, you have to go the long way, you know, just because you took some money from me. It's not good.
Yeah.
Naam. Next question from the sisters. Yes, Fauzia, faddal. Wassalamu rahmatullah. When somebody pass away, I don't know what you just said then. Al-Fatiha. Ah. Yep. Yeah, very funny, it's true. We make people look funny, actually. You know? Because yeah, what the sister Fauzia is trying to share, you know. Our tradition, the normal way of us responding, when we hear somebody pass away, even Ustaz or anybody before he start the class, let us recite Al-Fatiha for the deceased, you know. So everybody will recite as Muslim. So now, this not yet Muslim, now he was exposed to this kind of values, culture. So suddenly, he is having a meeting. If he's a boss in the company, he know that a lot of his staff are Muslim, and the family of the Muslim have passed away. He also now remind everybody, you know, we are so we feel sad. You know, we give ta'ziyah to so and so's parent pass away. Let us say Al-Fatiha. Now, when he say Al-Fatiha, the Muslim is going to look at him. Who are you to say Al-Fatiha? Al-Fatiha belong to us, not yours. But neither he said Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin, he just said Al-Fatiha. You know? Because everybody say Al-Fatiha, a bit Al-Fatiha, a bit Al-Fatiha. So he also Al-Fatiha. But now he's been bombarded. You are not Muslim, you cannot blame him. He thought that this is part of the ta'ziyah. When he said Al-Fatiha, if you want, use that platform to tell him da'wah, what is Fatiha. There is no reward by saying Al-Fatiha, finish. I mean, a lot of the reward may also do that. You say Al-Fatiha, okay. Have you said Fatiha? Sudah. Al-Fatiha, finish. You know, but anyhow, we are oversensitive. Yeah? I think it's good. It's like a not yet Muslim offer a salam. Can we respond? When he see the Muslim, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum, he also love this greeting, Assalamu alaikum. Huh? Then we get uptight. Next time, don't give me the salam, no. If I respond, you're in trouble. Huh? How can I'm in trouble when you always respond with each other? Because I'm going to respond differently. I have this problem before in the gym. We have a lot of Muslim friends and the counter are Muslim, and then you have this not Muslim who always come in and see us give salam alaikum, wa alaikum salam. So now this guy also came in and give salam to the Muslim receptionist, salam alaikum. You know that girl was so angry. He said, I was there. He said, next time don't give me this. Don't say salam to me. If I respond, Allah will curse you. Wow. There, we were taught like that. When a not yet Muslim offer you, respond, wa alaikum salam. May the curse of Allah upon you. But that is not right. Who do that? Who say that? The Jews, sometimes they play with this. Assalamu alaikum. He said, death to you, O Muhammad. But the Prophet never respond in that manner. Aisha respond. The woman are not just a woman, you know. The woman very fast, very sharp. Wa alaikum salam. And plus, wa la'natullah alaik. You play with woman give you double dose. Then the Jew just leave. Yeah. Then the Prophet called Aisha. Why do you say that? They curse you. I have to curse them back. Yeah, tic tac, no, and but the Prophet said, I have said, if a not yet Muslim offer you any greeting, even the intention is bad, we don't know, or they misquote the saying, because assalam, assam, assalam, and some like death or poison. You die with poison. He said, we just said, wa alayka, or wa alaykum. We don't curse people. Use the cursing word, you just, same to you. If your intention is good, the good thing go back to you. If your intention is bad, I don't know, the bad thing go back to you. I don't want to dirty my mouth. It's like people say, you bodoh. If you say, you pun bodoh, both bodoh lah. Yeah. You stupid, you say you stupid. Both stupid. He say you stupid because he's stupid. No, so you keep quiet and say, may Allah guide us. Yeah. Make it easy. Now this is important. Yeah, I know this thing happened. So it's good for us to remind the not yet Muslim to be careful, because they are very confused. Yeah. Naam. And the last question from the sisters. Nan, brothers. Now, good. I'll give you some reminder. There are two things. Number one, you know about our program, the TMEA, yeah, or TMEA. Course for reciting the Quran. I informed all of you a week ago, I think. So those who want to know more, because you have to register at the counter. Not full yet. Just remind the good sister. This is only for sisters. Yeah. Go to the office, and once they have the number, then they will start, yeah, to look for the date to start this course. Yeah. So it's a good course for the sisters. Yeah. And they have their own technique to teach all of you to learn how to recite the Quran with tajweed, yeah, in a very short period, inshallah. Number two, just a reminder, inshallah, we are leaving for Japan tomorrow for our da'wah activities. Next Wednesday, class is off, yeah, because we are on the way back on Wednesday. So we won't be having class next Wednesday. For those who have the intention to join us for the peace conference in Oslo, yeah, Norway, we have some information, yeah, for all of you. We may be traveling with Emirates Airline. That is more easier for us. The ticket that we have finalized from the info we collect from Sis Anis is that it costs 4,680. Yeah, for the tickets. Yeah. That mean from here to Dubai, Dubai straight to Oslo. Yeah. Then there is also for those who are, they will, yeah, organize my hotel. For those who want them to organize room in the same hotel, it may cost you 2,670 ringgit for 6 days. No, no. 7 nights. For 7 nights is a pax. Yeah? 2,670 ringgit. This is if you want the normal size, deluxe. If you want a smaller size, then the price may differ. That one you can check, yeah, at the office with Sitanit. They are checking with our team back in Oslo. So just to remind those who have the intention to make sure that we arrange it as soon as possible before, you know, the price, everything will change again. Yeah. We are leaving probably, inshallah, if I forgot, yeah, I think we are leaving on the 6th, on the 6th or the 5th of April. 6th, yeah? We are leaving on the 6th. Further information, you can collect it from the office from Sister Anis, inshallah. So may Allah make it easy for all of us, brothers and sisters. And for those who have learned something today, please remember and share it with your close family members so everybody are aware of what to do about the ta'ziah, inshallah. So until we see you, not next week, after that, inshallah next month, may Allah make it easy for all of us. Wabillahi tawfiqi wal aqli da'wana walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته.